Next curve.
Welcome, this is Leonard Lee, Managing Director of Next Curve. Thank you for joining today's Rethink webcast, and in this session, we will be discussing the way of the intercepting business. And for those of you who are not familiar with Next Curve, let me introduce our firm very quickly. So we are a San Diego-based boutique consulting and research firm focused on providing experience-based advisory services to inspire our clients' digital future. And we advise across a wide range of digital topics, drawing from the expertise and experience of our executive consultants and analysts. And I started Next Curve with the goal of channeling my 23 years of experience consulting across a wide range of industries in business, technology, and strategy advisory domains, and helping my clients win and move forward with clarity into the cloudy frontier that is our digital future. And I also wanted to work with some fantastic people like our featured Next Curve principal. And today, I am very honored, in fact, elated to be joined by Next Curve principal, Jody Starkman. Jody and I have known each other for a very long time, right, Jody?
Yes, Leonard. It's been a while.
And she has been a great mentor to me and is an amazing consultant. And she is a former consulting executive at PwC and IBM, and is currently the executive director of the Innovation Resource Center for Human Resources. And I know that there's an acronym for that, right?
Yes, IRC for HR.
And she and I have been through some amazing journeys together and have worked on a number of very large transformation programs in the electronics and automotive industries. And we have a lot of war stories that we share and have some great accomplishments that we've achieved together. And so that makes it particularly special for me to have her on board here with Next Curve. We're hopefully going to be writing a book on the topic of organizational change for enterprises facing our digital economy and how to cope with the fast-paced changes that are associated with it. Jody, this is wonderful to be working with you and, quite honestly, just fun. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Leonard. It's really a pleasure to be here. So good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are when you're listening to this live and or recorded after the fact, when I promise you it will probably sound a little bit better.
Oh, wow. You're
just
natural.
A little bit.
You're natural.
And, I guess I just want to add one more thing to my background, just so you know the context from where I'm coming from here. And that's that my personal mission has always been dedicated to enhancing the effectiveness and shared success of organizations and the people who lead and work for them. So when you listen to my ideas and my experience, that's kind of the lens through which I'm looking at things.
Okay. Thanks, Jody. Yeah. So let's jump into the agenda. And we're going to start off with talking about being like water. You're probably wondering, well, what is this whole way of the intercepting business? Well, the water story is going to explain that a little bit. And we're going to have a little fun there explaining the relationship. And then we're going to talk about the Alpha organization. Then we will dive a little bit deeper into the implication of the Alpha organization as well as the context around how we came up with this idea of the Alpha organization in this third topic, which is getting ready to be uncomfortable. And then finally, if we have some time, we'll field a couple of questions.
That's the plan.
All right. So let's move on to our first topic here, which is be like water. We arrived at this having a discussion about digital organization, and the question we asked ourselves is, well, what is a digital organization, right?
I'd say in the middle of last year, we started this conversation, and this question of what is a digital organization, what does that mean? Is there clarity around it? Is there a shared understanding of it? And I think we pretty much, you know, agreed very quickly that the short answer is no. and that there seemed to be a need to take some time to really explore that a little more in depth.
Yeah, and there's a number of different concepts out there, or terms, I guess is the way that you have to put it. You have all these consultancies and people out in the ether telling enterprises you need to be an adaptable organization, you need to be an agile organization. When you then go to the next level, those concepts, it all ends up becoming like an IT organization because everything is becoming digital. But I think one of the things that we really struggled with was how can you treat these things separately, right? Because adaptability, agility, they're not exactly the same thing, right? And the principles and the techniques and the methods that you would use for becoming adaptable can be quite different from becoming agile. And then many people conflating agile with IT agile, you know, agile development, being DevOps and all that. And I think generally there's this confusion and discourse. And then you throw in innovation, right? Everyone talks about innovation. You need to be an innovative organization.
It's not so much about becoming a digital organization. It's about transforming into a digitally capable organization. Mm-hmm. And so an organization that's capable of being effective and successful in a digital economy is not the same thing as being a digital organization. I think, you know, all of the consultancies and all of the, you know, industry analysts, there's lots of survey research out there to mm-hmm. say that, you know, the C-suite CEOs are all in agreement. Yes, we need to become a digital organization. And yet there's a huge gap between the skills and the capabilities that exist in our organization to make that happen. And over again, we see that huge investments in technology don't necessarily transfer into a successful, effective digital organization. And I think the other part of it, I think, is that a lot of times the workforce in these organizations don't feel connected to this story of digital. It's like, my job isn't digital. That's right. Not about me. And so I think in order to begin to get people into the sort of how we make it relevant for everyone in your organization mm-hmm. is to step back from the digital organization, digital skills, to talking about what kind of skills do I need to be successful in a digital economy, in an organization operating the digital economy. And I, you know, we spend a little more time maybe later in this conversation getting there, but I just want to very quickly say that in order to clarify the point I'm making is that there's for sure are very technical skills that organizations need, and there are gaps because there are digital skills in this, you know, to operate in it with digital technology. So and some of these are very technical. So there's we need more data scientists. We need people with more machine learning skills and people who are able to use various technical tools and develop them. But some of the skills are actually a result of using new technology solutions. Like, you know, marketing and selling over social network requires different skills than marketing and selling face to face. So those are people operating in a digital world who need a different set of skills in order to do what they were already doing. And then there's a third level that's really, I think, more about, it's about not using the technology itself, but it's about how work gets done in an organization that is more agile, more adaptive, more innovative. And that has to do with things like relationships, building relationships, working effectively across organization boundaries, you know, more creative approaches to problem solving, being in a mode of continuous learning and growth. And so now you begin to decompose, what does it mean when you tell your recruiter, we need to go out and find some people with more digital skills.
Or worse, digital experience.
Exactly. Right? Well, what does that mean? So I think one of the things that Leonard and I really quickly came to and we've been struggling with and we'll continue to explore, hopefully with all of you, is how do we get more clarity about really what does this really mean?
What does the organization really need to react to? And you mentioned the digital economy, but what is it about the digital economy? Is it the digital part, the technology part, or is it just simply the increased velocity of change? And that's what we arrived at as being sort of that key thing that organizations have to react to, is that no longer do you have these long cycles in industries anymore. You have this compressed time frame of change where things are, the foundations of industries are changing literally now in certain industries, not all industries. Some industries are still slow, right? But there are many industries, especially the tech industry, maybe you can even consider oil, gas, financial services, where the velocity change is accelerating. It's in part to digital technologies and how people are leveraging that to create new business models, go to market with new business model. But it's not entirely that. I don't think you can attribute the increase in change entirely to digital. But how do you make your organization adaptable.
And ready for this change.
Right.
So I should let you get back to the metaphor.
right. Yeah.
We're never going to get off our first slide.
Right. So we had this really deep discussion around the meaning of digital organization. And at a heated point in our debate, somehow we arrived at I brought up Bruce Lee and his saying that you need to be like water. If you recall his quote, I think it was an interview that he had. He says that water takes the form of whatever it's in. So if it's poured into a cup, it becomes the cup. If it gets poured into a pot, it becomes the pot. Well, this is like one of the principles we think is very important for organizations to now think about is how do we become adaptable? And there's a lot of folks that have points of view on that, which is fine. But the other thing is water is also agile, and I didn't know this. I should have probably from my chemistry class in high school, but it has the lowest viscosity of any liquid. So in fact, it is very agile. It can fill those forms very quickly, quicker than, let's say, oil or honey, as a good example, right? And then you also need to be efficient. As an organization, you need to be efficient. And when we think about Bruce Lee's martial arts philosophy, it's all about efficient movements. So just because you're adaptable doesn't mean you throw 1,000 punches. What you do is you throw that one punch that is going to be most effective and is going, and it may not be the first punch. It may not be something that capitalizes on agility to be there first. Rather, adaptability, the ability to change, and then agility to take on the opportunity that's presented to you. But timing is a critical thing, right?
So that's context, very context sensitive.
Yeah. And so this was a really philosophical part of the conversation we started having in around this whole topic of digital organization. And finally, you know, of course, everyone talks about innovation. And one of the things about water is that it's very innovative. I mean, if you can attribute it to having intelligence, although, you know, many will argue it doesn't, but who knows? Nowadays with MEMS technology and nanotechnology, you might have intelligent water. But it's always taken...
Well, we do have smart water, right?
Yeah, we do. That's true. But testing new ways to progress and break through. And I think that's what the essence of innovation is right? You're trying to solve a problem. When you hit an impasse or if there's a problem to solve, you're able to innovate and solve that problem. And we hear about innovation all the time. And that is an important element to the disciplines that they need in order to meet the needs of the digital economy and the digital future.
No,
Jody, did I miss anything?
No, I think that you did a nice job.
No? Okay.
Hope everyone understands Bruce Lee a little better.
Yeah. No, come on. Everybody loves Bruce Lee, right? Yeah. I was actually very happy to somehow associate the topic that we're talking about here with something related to Bruce Lee. I was always a fan. Love the guy. So let's move on to the next topic here, which is the Alpha Organization. This is an introduction to a concept that Jody and I have come up with. It's a framework of thinking about quote-unquote digital business, and we're still having a little bit of trouble disassociating ourselves from that term. And the reason why we're doing this, folks, is because we really want to decompose the conversation into its essential parts rather than continue to go around talking about digital organization and talking past each other. Let's get down to the next level and get real. Because you know what? A lot of this digital stuff, there isn't enough real. Jody, that isn't that what we tried to do here? That's why we're even bothering having this webinar.
How do we
today.
Make this real
How
and
do we
practical
make it real?
And actionable?
Right. And it's not all about tech marketing or consulting marketing.
It's you really know, about it's cutting not... through and getting to clarity.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's how do we break... there? What, no matter what you choose to do as an organization, there's significant change involved. And in any major change effort, people need to understand where you're going and why this matters, why it matters to them. So
yeah, and so if you were to sit there and look at your business, if you're one of the business leaders out there who are listening to this webcast, the thing that you're probably sensing out there is this increased velocity of change that we talked about earlier. Organizations feel that's at a number of levels, but most fundamentally on the demand side, you're seeing the competitive environment becoming much more volatile, much more dynamic, much more fluid, you're probably feeling the pressure of this change. And you're also starting to see some urgency in your own agenda to be able to accommodate some of these change for a couple of reasons. Number one, to compete. Number two, to differentiate and rise above the noise and become a leader.
Okay, well, the concept of an alpha organization comes from the notion of, you know, the alpha dog. What it meant to me is this idea of an organization that is competitive and a leader. The conversation that Leonard is referring to is he very quickly dove into the, well, you know, you're either the, you know, you're number one or you're number two in your market. And interestingly enough, you're right. There will be a number one and a number two in every market. But there are thousands and thousands of organizations out there, and markets are pretty large, and there's room for lots of players. I'm somebody who believes in a theory of abundance, that there's lots of opportunity for lots of organizations to be successful. But in however way you define success for your organization, it's about leadership. It's about being a leader. It's about bringing your organization along. It's about bringing your people along. And it's about creating the kind of organization in which people can come together to be successful and to thrive. That kind of goes back to, you know, how I introduced myself as someone whose mission has been to help organizations and the people who lead and work for them to be successful together.
There's different lenses that you can look at the alpha org from, right? And we talked about this earlier, actually today, is that you can look at it from the standpoint of being a participant in a particular market that may not necessarily be the market leader. There's certain principles and strategies that you might want to take from an alpha org perspective. And then if you're a market leader, there's this whole question of, well, how do I sustain my market leadership? And that may have another set of implications in terms of the types of disciplines that you focus on and the conditioning your organization to support the goals of the business. And so one of the things that we do, just really quickly, is that we do separate the organization from the business in an abstraction where the needs of the business are really the demand that's imposed on the organization. So that's the conceptual abstraction that we've been working with. We talk about the increased velocity of industry change in your business, and what you're going to want is to have alpha organization philosophy and figuring out what are the principles of adaptability, efficiency, agility, and innovation that are going to optimally support the needs of your business and enable the business to ultimately become competitive. And it's all about generating competitive advantage at some point, whether it's for sustaining your business in your marketplace or advancing your positioning in the marketplace. And there's two lenses, like what you were saying, Jody. You can look at alpha org from the internal perspective, and it does cover that, as we'll talk about in the next slide or the next section, but also from a market perspective.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing we're trying to get at here is that lots of companies point to the leaders and say, oh, we want to be like them.
Right.
Except I think what Leonard and I keep coming back to is that there isn't a prescription out there for how to be an organization that's going to be successful in the digital economy. It really comes down to understanding what you need to do for your organization in the context of your industry, of your level of maturity, of your workforce. Going back to the sort of having this conversation about the disciplines and what they mean within the context of your business is really important.
Right.
And I guess, you know, there just seems to be an awful lot of, you know, voyeurism going on right now. And again, we're trying to get people back to really decomposing the questions and the issues.
Absolutely.
So that you can get some better clarity about the way forward.
Right.
And not buying into the hype cycle.
Right. So. And I promised you that I wouldn't make this a Kung Fu discussion, but I'm going to resurrect Bruce Lee again.
Yeah,
when you think about Jeet Kune Do, it's all about having your own style, developing your own style to win. Not all organizations start from the same point. If you compare Google with GE, they're at a different phase in their organizational evolution. They originate out of different eras, right?
Sure.
And so to sit there and go, hey, GE, you need to be like Snapchat or Google, I don't know how constructive of a device that is. Maybe there's certain things that you can learn from quote-unquote digital-first companies. There shouldn't be a simple answer, because competition is not a simple thing. Companies really need to dive into the complexity of what it means to have an organization that is going to be able to cope with the rapid change out there and capitalize on the opportunities that it presents, right? But then also be able to repel or deal with the threats that this rapidly changing digital economy is going to present to them as well, right?
Yep, agreed.
Okay, cool. So let's move on to the next uncomfortable topic, which is get ready to be uncomfortable, because that is going to be the way of the future, not only for organizations, but for people as well. We realize that a lot of the discussions today are really primarily focused on the principle level. It's like you need to be an agile organization, innovation, blah, blah, blah. But rarely do we talk about the next levels down, right? It sounds great to say we are an agile organization, but what are the types of investments that you need to make? I mean, you and I, we've been consulting for a long time, right? And it seems like a lot of these transformations, whether digital or whatnot, people don't invest much into the organization in terms of a change.
Well, they underinvest in it for sure. It's right. The first part of the project or the investment that gets cut is always change management. If there's anything different about quote unquote digital, I think it's that the impact on some of the most essential components of organization life is probably more significant than perhaps any other technology change that we have been through. Mm-hmm. It's really fundamental. And I think it's got a significant impact on culture, on organization design and structure, on leadership, and on your people, both from a skill perspective and from a behavior and how we work together perspective. And, you know, you can read just about anywhere in the research today, regardless of the investment in technology, the obstacles to being effective and successful always come back to culture, leadership, people, organization design. And I think, you know, what we'd like to really do a deep dive in, and maybe in some subsequent webcasts, are each of these areas. Because I think if you start to look at the traditional ways that organizations have established these things, you will begin to see, as I have, and I think lots of folks that are writing about this topic have, some significant obstacles to being successful. So of course, to me that means there's lots of opportunity.
Sure.
But I think you cannot overstate the challenge that this is going to present and is presenting to all of the organizations that are currently involved.
Right.
In some kind of a transformation effort.
Yeah, and I think one of the things is if you look holistically at your business, there really isn't an archetypical pattern that you can go off of, right? I think you really need to consider what would truly work for your organization. I think one of the challenges is getting business leaders as well as technology leaders to understand how do I make it substantial, not only for myself, but also for the people. And, you know, Jody, you brought up the organization being key to transformation. I've heard this from several executives. In fact, most recently from the CEO of a very large company. And one of the things that he told me was like, yeah, you know, technology is not the problem. This digital stuff is not the problem. It's the people. And he was talking about his enterprise customers who are looking to make this digital transformation journey. And the challenge is that within these organizations, you have folks that are resistant to change. And that's either they're fundamentally resistant because they just don't want to change, or they're just not bought into the change and understanding how it's relevant for them.
Or their organization barriers to it.
Sure.
Even when they do understand
right.
it. Yeah. You know, you tell me you expect us to collaborate and work across organization boundaries,
right.
but all of our measurements are still highly, you know, vertical and siloed and functionally bound.
Right.
So you say you want us to work like this, but all of the organization metrics and kind of, you know, the way we think we do things around here all point in another direction. Or our organization structure doesn't support the way of working that you're talking about.
Sure.
Or in the past, I've reached out to folks, you know, in another function to try to make something happen, and I've gotten, you know, my hand slapped.
Yeah.
Or in order to be more agile and to be able to make a decision more quickly, you know, I need to be able to make that decision in real time. Mm-hmm. And our current, you know, bureaucracy requires that it go up three levels and come back down before somebody can sign off on something. These are not new concepts. I just think that their importance and their significance in this particular environment have just made them all the more challenging and all the more dramatic in terms of just how much of an obstacle they are.
I mean, you just perfectly described culture, right? And then we touched on leadership as being an important element. And, you know, like you said, none of these are net new. I think we just need to think about these things in a slightly different way, or even for in certain instances, a dramatically different way, right? Rather than taking this digital first point of view, let's focus on what does it mean for an organization to respond to effectively the changes that are going on. Because everything that you talked about, it still goes back to the increasing velocity of change, right? And you can't just discount the fact that there are other factors other than digital that are influencing that. But you know, at the organizational level, it becomes an org discussion, right? It's not so much of a focused digital discussion. And then now you're starting to hit on the org structure and how that in certain organizations that can be an impediment, and that there's certain practices and methods that you might be able to use to, let's say, grease the wheels a bit.
Sure. I think that work structure and leadership are very closely connected, actually. You know, one of the principles, I suppose, that we haven't talked about, but that seem to be the foundation of solutions and products and service offerings in this quote-unquote digital economy, is the idea of organizing around customers. And in order to do that, you know, a customer is in service by a function in your organization. Mm. A customer gets service, and a product or a service gets designed horizontally by connecting across multiple functions within your organization. And so I think, you know, the difference now is that, you know, structuring around customer needs, it immediately runs into the barriers of the way most organizations are designed, which is in very siloed, fragmented, you know, vertical lines. And that, in fact, many databases and data systems that you would need to tap into horizontally are also structured in vertical lines, and people and access is only available to people within those silo vertical line. So I think, you know, starting to really think about how you organize it around a customer begins to right away bump into the challenge of what current, you know, organization structure. Mm. You know, and we need leaders who are able to operate horizontally across those organization boundaries. And I would even argue that I think this sort of this cross-functional coordination or orchestration across the enterprise really, I think, requires some kind of a new role, or a new function, or even just a new group of people who both have a mindset for doing that, but also are given the mandate to do that and enabled to do that. I'm not sure who owns that. I think in some organizations there's a chief digital officer, or there's a chief transformation officer, and I think we need to give a lot more thought to what it will take to continue to sort of orchestrate that kind of movement horizontally, which is so different than the way organizations really behave and operate today.
We're going to be touching lightly on these four things, right? We're going to have subsequent sessions to drill down a little further into each of these areas and provide some of our thoughts on what organizations should consider.
Yeah, getting back to the water metaphor, actually, I would just say that.
Oh, no. You know, an agile, are you serious?
I think an agile, adaptable, innovative organization really functions as a network, a fluid network of collaborators. Mm-hmm. And so I think thinking about what are the things, you know, a fluid network of collaborators who are aligned around shared goals that are all about serving customers. Mm-hmm. And I think there are lots of, if you start to do a deep dive into what are the things in our organization that either support and enable or become actually blockages or obstacles, it doesn't take long to begin to find them. And I think that's going to be where we're going to spend a lot of time thinking. As organizations start to take a look at themselves and figure out what's our strategy to make this change happen, I think they're going to have to do really deep dive and get really serious about tackling those obstacles, which is about doing things differently than the way we've done them. And as you know, if you've ever been involved in a change effort, there are always lots of people who are very invested in keeping things the way they are, because we're talking about people letting go of control or letting go of roles that they're comfortable with or they've been doing a long time.
Right. Well, you just got a preview, because I didn't hear any of this stuff before. It seems like you were inspired by our conversation.
I'll save it.
So that's a preview for the next next installments of our series here. So, and then the final element is the people element. And I think you and I agree this is probably one of the most important, right?
Sure.
Because, you know, you can have structure, you can have individuals or a leadership style, but at the end of the day, if your people don't go, if people don't follow, and they're not able to, I think, more importantly, cope with this increased velocity of change, a lot of this, hey, let's become an agile organization, none of this stuff actually happens, right? Because let's bring it down to the reality of most folks who work in organizations. They have their family, they have their dog, they have the mortgage payment, they have the yacht.
Wait
a minute, maybe not the yacht. But they have other concerns outside of the workplace. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about earlier is that most of them don't know what a digital business is. They're completely cut off and don't even care about this whole discourse that happens at, you know, maybe it's even the bubble that we're in, right? The bubble that we are in, talking about digital, it means nothing to most folks.
Right. Well, I think they're either afraid because there's so much angst that you know, in the hype, or they're disconnected because, well, I don't think that affects me.
Right.
So clearly we need to begin the dialogue to begin to bring people along about how, why is this relevant to you? And in what way is this relevant to you? And how are we going to help you? And I do believe there's an obligation on the part of organizations. Perhaps the most disrupted of everything are people. And it's, in, you know, how do you begin to bring those, you know, bring the folks who work for your organization, how do you begin to bring them along? And by the way, not all of them are directly employed by your organization. So this whole, you know, the challenge of doing that with a gig workforce or with an ecosystem collaborating organizations really requires very different ideas about how you both organize and engage and bring along, you know, the talent and the people who contribute to your organization.
Right. And speaking of gig economy, it can also impact your org structure, the way that you need to lead, and obviously the culture as well, right?
Yeah.
How compelling of a culture can you create if most of your people are on a 1099, right?
Yeah, exactly. How do you connect them? And I'm going to share one. If you have like 1 minute, to
We have time.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day that was so interesting, and it was on this topic and a couple of related topics. And it was the first time I'd ever spoken to this woman, and we went back and forth and got very exciting very quickly because we were kind of finishing each other's sentences, and we're talking about sort of this gig workforce and this ecosystem of collaborating organizations, and how do we design organizations for that purpose? How do we bring people together across not just functional boundaries, but now organizational boundaries? So she shared with me some reading she had done recently in a book. The topic was the consciousness in cephalopods. Yes, you got that right. Cephalopods like octopus, squid, etc. And it was all about the evolution of the nervous system. So what was interesting is this idea that most of a cephalopod's neurons are not clustered in a centralized brain as it is in vertebrates. There's some there, but some are also located in the arms. So you've got this central nervous system, but also these arms that have some degree of autonomy. And so for an octopus, its arms, and this is a quote, are partly self. So they can be directed and used to manipulate things. But from the central brain's perspective, they're partly non-self too, kind of like agents of their own. You know, I think it's a really interesting way of thinking about organization design, which is part of it is self and part of it is non-self, and somehow the ability to coordinate all that and think about how you optimize for both at the same time is a really interesting challenge. And one I'm very excited about, actually. But what would our organizations look like if we design them more like that, both connected and independent?
Right.
I think that's a reality of what they are going to be.
Right.
So how do we design for that?
The key word in what you just said is challenge. It's not a boilerplate that you can apply to your organization
at
all. And for a lot of companies and a lot of organizations, I think to move toward this more adaptable, agile model is way more easy to say than do.
Yeah,
right?
I would say this is not a problem to be solved. It's
an
ongoing challenge that we will have to evolve with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why getting comfortable with the uncertainty and being comfortable with the unknown it's increasingly important to get comfortable with that and to be okay with that.
And, and I think going back to what we're talking about with the people, you need to have people who can cope with it. And you're not going to have an organization that's going to be adaptable or even agile without people who are really comfortable with uncertainty. Because this isn't a static status quo type of environment we're talking about. For example, all the drama that IBM has gone through over the last 5-6 years, I mean, it's been traumatic for a lot of folks, you know? I mean, constant change. But you know what? That's what it ends up being like. That environment is very uncomfortable for a lot of folks. And how do you sit there and manage that in your people? Of course, we have to talk about digital. We talked about organization. We talk about the four aspects that you need to consider. But where does digital fall into play here? Well, we talked about digital and how it can influence and contribute to the acceleration of change in your industry and the markets and the competitive environment. The other place that we saw digital having some relevance in this overall conversation is in the workplace and the way that digital technologies can be used by an organization to either support cultural change and shift the way that people work, the way that organizations can structure themselves, the way that leadership can communicate. So there's a lot of enabling, and I want to underscore enabling things that it can do, but it's not digital first. It's the organization first, right? And I think that's the flip that needs to happen. That's, I think, what we've really struggled with in this whole digital organization debate that we've been having.
Agreed. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
what's next?
All right. You know what? I think we're ready for the implications for business leaders. I'm going to continue to have further discussions, and we're also going to be hosting a number of additional webcasts featuring additional panelists. Let's talk about the first implication, which is digital transformation. There is no app for that. You came up with this, so you're going to talk. You're going to explain this one.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's not that complicated. I mean, of course, it's all very complicated and very complex. But at least the point I was trying to make here is that you can't buy a solution and plug it in.
No.
These are fundamental, really challenging, foundational change issues. They go well beyond, you know, the challenge of implementing technology and rethinking your business model, which by themselves are not insignificant challenges, but we really need to flip it around. And if not organization first, at least organization at the same equal level as digital, because the challenges are no less. And you know, the other thing is to think about digital as both, you know, transformational for your industry, your business model, but also a tremendously impactful enabler of change in your organization if used appropriately and people are able to make use of it. So, but I think that there's no app for that. It's just that, you know, this is not any kind of a plug and play, folks. It's we're talking about some really hard work and some sustained work over a long period of time. We're going to have to learn to evolve with it.
Yeah, no free updates.
Yeah.
Over the air updates for this one. Okay, the next one is digital organization. Get real with it. What does it mean? I believe we agree on is that we need to get past this digital conversation and really get decompose the conversation into its essential parts. Where does digital really fit in the picture? And not allow technology to overrun the conversation.
What are we really talking about?
Because we see enough evidence out there, even in our own experience, we know the technology is the easy part. It's everything else that's difficult. You know, as you're working with your advisors and working with folks within your organization, what does this digital organization thing really mean? And get real about it. You know, don't just sit there and stay at that level. Start to drill down and make that mental, cerebral investment into this topic of organization. But more importantly, how do you make your organization able to cope with the increasing velocity of change? Right. I think that's really the key. Forget about the technology.
Clarity. It's about getting to some clarity.
Exactly.
There's a lot of buzz and noise out there.
Yeah. And then the next one is succeeding in a digital economy is complex, ongoing challenge.
This is not a one-time fix or a transformation project and then we're done transforming.
This is
one of those complex ongoing challenges that you're not going to solve it. Mm-hmm. You're going to continue to evolve with it. And I think those are the challenges that we're talking about, is becoming the kind of organization that is agile and adaptable and adaptable. And capable of making those kind of changes on an ongoing basis, whatever they are, and not knowing right now what they are going to be, and getting people more comfortable with that. There's a book called Humility is the New Smart. And the whole concept of it is that in a world in which things are changing so quickly and there's so much uncertainty, you can't know what you're going to need to know or what will be, it becomes really important to recognize what you don't know and to become a really good asker of questions and someone with a lot of intellectual curiosity and a lifelong learner. And those are all things that we need the people in our organizations to get more comfortable with. With it's okay to not know. Nobody knows.
That's just the reality of these times.
So,
but I want to expand on one of the points that you made here on this bullet, which is the change is ongoing. And I think that's what people need to recognize. There is no target state. So if you're working with someone and say, well, we need to work on your target state organizational model, and like, okay, wait a minute. There's going to be constant change. By the time you make that change, your environment might be different. You might need to take on different forms. And so going back, making this a Kung Fu discussion again, you need to adapt your style to your opponent, or in this case, the market, the competitive landscape, and
which
the competitive environment, right? It's always changing. So rather than sitting there having these static forms that you're going out there, and you know, if we were to take the Kung Fu thing again, the kata, you know, if you do the karate katas in a street fight, you're going to get your, excuse my French, you're going to get your butt kicked in all likelihood. The thing is that you need to continue to adapt. And what's most important is that your organization is conditioned to be an alpha organization. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so number four is the hard stuff remains the soft stuff. Invest in it. Don't ignore.
So this is, you know, a lifetime of leading business transformation and technology implementation projects and programs. And coming at it from an organization development change management perspective, like I said, it was always the first part of the budget to get cut. And, you know, somehow, companies figured out how to make it work, although I think they had adoption problems with technology. That was often the reason. Yeah. I think what we're saying here is that, you know, the technology, quote unquote, the hard stuff, continues to not be the thing that's the real obstacle to success.
And right.
Mm-hmm. So not only, you know, are the soft stuff, organization, leadership development, organization design, not only are those things important, they are more important than ever. Plan to invest in it. I just can't overstate that.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I mean, you know, I think it's easy to lead an organization through stable status quo type environments. But when the thing is constantly changing and you yourself as a leader may not even have a bearing on where you really need to go.
What we're asking people to do, and how we're asking organizations to behave, are really flying in the face of traditional organization design and organization structure and leadership, and you know, rewards and recognition. And if we're going to tear those things down, it's going to take some significant investment to do that, and not just, you know, financial investment, but you know, mental and emotional investment.
Right,
and time.
Right. So. Agreed. All right. And the last one here is change and uncertainty are uncomfortable. Be comfortable with it. Going forward, whether or not you're in an industry that's fast moving or slow moving, the thing is that the ability to cope with change and respond to it in an effective way that results in positive outcomes for your business, whether it's more competitiveness or differentiation in the marketplace or even just surviving, this is the most important thing beyond everything else, you know, beyond the digital stuff, beyond, you know, using agile methodology to become more IT centric or service oriented or what have you. The most critical thing is being able to cope with change and engineering your organization to be able to do that. But even more importantly, conditioning your organization. Let's talk about what we have planned next in our series, and we'll be announcing the schedule soon. The next installment in our series is going to be the way of culture for alpha organizations, and we'll delve into some of the things that you were talking about earlier around values that be conducive to promoting the principles of an alpha organization, such as adaptability, agility, innovation, and efficiency. And then we'll have a session on the way of leadership of an alpha organization. We'll explore different cases as well as thoughts on what are some of those leadership qualities, principles, disciplines that you might want to consider as you're designing your alpha organization. And then we'll have discussion on the structure of alpha organizations, where we explore what Jody mentioned earlier about the different types of organizational forms that you might want to consider that might break the mold of conventional or traditional thinking around organizational structures. And then the fourth installment will be on the way of people. And this, I think, is going to be a really fun one, where we'll talk about the considerations that you should have as a business leader in working with your people to make them more adaptable to change or more acclimated to change on an ongoing basis. And then finally, we'll have a wrap-up session where we'll talk about how you can realize your own alpha style.
Yeah, and Leonard, if I could just make a really quick plug for two projects that IRC for HR is currently funding. One of them is we're working with Rob Cross, who some of you might know is a professor at Babson and has done a lot of work in organization and social network analysis. And there are some really powerful lessons that are coming out of his research around how successful leaders and employees use networks to enhance their performance and to enhance organizational performance. And I think there's definitely some lessons there in the people piece, as well as some of the leadership and culture piece that we can hopefully share with you. Another thought leader who we're working with, Roland Deiser, at the Center for the Future of Organization, located within the Drucker School of Management at Claremont. Roland's leading some research right now on the leadership and the organization design challenges of digital transformation with a group of global organizations. And I hope we'll be able to share some findings from that as well.
Yeah.
And maybe definitely. Even get Roland on one of our next calls.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully we can nudge him a bit, right, toward the mic.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
So thank you. So I think the good news is that there are many things that leaders can do, you know, to help their organizations become more digitally capable. And I guess I would just throw this one out. If you think you're behind, and the truth is that despite all the hype about digital transformation, I think most companies are still struggling. You know, now's the time to get started.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. So that's all the time we have. If you would like to find out more about NextCurve's point of view on this and other digital topics of the day, go to our site, www.next-curve.com, and you will find research notes by Jody, myself, and other NextCurve principals, and media and replays of this and other webinars or webcasts on our site. To keep up to date on all the great stuff that we're doing at NextCurve, follow us on Twitter and YouTube. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, friend us on Twitter to get live feeds and coverage of industry conferences that we're attending and special NextCurve events such as this one. And if you would like for NextCurve to advise you on your journey toward becoming an alpha organization, a great start is our executive workshop program, which focuses on helping you and your organization identify the optimal forms, principles, and strategies for conditioning your organization for constant change. And the outcome of this engagement is a set of deliverables that will be vital in communicating the organizational change your business needs to make in order to better meet the challenges of our fast-changing, digitally augmented economy. And you can contact me by email or telephone for a scoping discussion to figure out how NextCurve can be part of your organizational transformation program. And this is Leonard Lee. And with that, thank you everyone for attending. Jody.
Thank you, Leonard, for the invitation and the opportunity to collaborate with you.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And thank you to everyone who is listening in today or listening to this down the road.
Yeah.
Appreciate it and look forward to your feedback and input into this dynamic conversation, which needs to continue. Thank
totally
you.
Agree. Yes, thank you so much, Jody. And thank you all. Have a wonderful day.
Visit us at www.next-curve.com.